Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I usually say good evening on Gear and Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning. I thank you so much for accommodating my change in schedule at the extreme very last minute. I came out of town to visit my parents, Sheyachiu, my mother, Shetechia, and we decided so last minute that when we were packed up Sunday morning, Baruch Hashem, we had a simcha this summer. I could not think ahead. I was here at the end of June to see my mother, and then the summer was extremely busy, Baruch Hashem, with good things, July and half of August, and now that Shavuot Brach is finished, I said a motzei Shabbos to my son, we're going to Toronto tomorrow morning. He said, what? I said, pack your bags, because I just decided, so much so that we didn't even have anywhere to stay. My husband said, Michal, I said, before the boys start yeshiva, before my husband starts his new job, Tuesday after Labor Day, it's the perfect time. My husband says, well, if we don't have anywhere to stay, we can't go. For various reasons, the usual places did not work. So I want to publicly thank, and I'm thanking them before every single shiur this week, as Esti could tell you, because she was in my morning shiur. As well, I'm thanking them publicly before every single shiur without any notice. I want to thank very, very much Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Atta Zelenik for graciously opening their home to myself and my husband and our two boys for this week with such wonderful accommodations and such kindness and chesed and warmth. And they didn't have any notice because we didn't even have any notice that we were coming. The reason I needed to switch the shiur night is because Thursday we will be traveling back, but Ezrat Hashem, and therefore instead of canceling the shiur, I wanted to switch the night. Whoever can listen live, please join us. You could listen on the recording. Okay, so that is my Hepharasa Tov and a little bit of an explanation as to why I had to be tonight. Okay, so the shiur sponsor is very interesting tonight. So I'm not going to say the name because she asked not to say the name and she said you don't even have to announce anything. But I thought that it was so beautiful what the sponsorship was for, so I want to share it with you, and it is anonymous. Okay, she was speaking to one of her daughters recently, and her husband, the daughter's husband, had just switched smicha programs and did not have a chavusa coming in the middle of the Seder. So the mother said to her daughter, I'm planning on sponsoring a Pirkei Avos shiur. Why don't we sponsor a schus for a shirech for him to find the proper chavrusa for Torah? Her daughter loved, capital letters, the idea. It meant a lot to her. Baruch Hashem, he found the chavrusa last week. So now it is a thank you to the Ribbono Shel'olam for the shirech in Lahagdol Torah Lehadira. Please make it anonymous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what it is for. So I just thought it was a beautiful, unusual, and necessary sponsorship. And it could give us all a little bit of chizuk. There's so many things you could sponsor for. So this is Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kilom Chasdo Meimach Torah, and Avodas Hashem emanate from the shidduch that was done for your son-in-law. And it should bring brachos and yeshuos and besoros tovas for you and your whole family. It is also Spaman who has sponsored multiple times. So I really appreciate it very, very much, as does the entire Chabura. So let us get right into our learning. So last time we are talking about the Mishnah of a Lev Tov, a good heart. So I'm just going to begin by screen sharing and going to the handout so that you could remind ourselves of the Mishnah. We are not going to learn what we learned last time. But the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, could you see my screen? Paula, could you see my screen? Yes, okay. The Mishnah tells us in Perek Beis, Mishnah Yod Gimel, a teaching of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Amar Lahem. He says to his Talmidim, Tzu'uru'u, Ezehi Derech Yisharash, go out and see what is the straight path. From the word Yashar, you know, they make a joke. If you ask in Israel for directions, I mean, today everyone has ways and everything else, but when it used to be, when you ask for directions, everything was Yashar, Yashar. So maybe it comes from the Mishnah. What is the Yashar path that a person should cling to in life? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tova, a good eye. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Chaver Tov, a good friend. I'm not going to go through everything we spoke about last week. Go back to our Torah and listen. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shachein Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroa Sonola, and someone who sees the outcome of his actions. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lev Tov. Rabbi Elazar says, no, I think the best midah, the best path that's most yasha for a person to cling to is a Lev Tov, a good heart. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai declared, Ro'eh ani es divrei Elazar ben Arach medivrechem, shebeklald rav divrechem. You know what? I paskin, like Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, we explained last time, El Azar, Hashem will help him, ben Arach, Arach is Erechim. There's value to his words. I value his words more than all of your others. Shebeklad rav derechem. You're all correct in what you said, but having a lev tov encompasses all these other ideas. If you have a lev tov, you will have a chaver tov, you will have an ayin tova, you will have a shachin tov, you will be rosh hanola, and therefore having a lev tov is paramount in the path of avodas Hashem. This is the Mishnah that we were talking about last time. Okay, I'm going to begin. So nice the attendance, even though I'm so pleased, Baruch Hashem, and you accommodated me on a Tuesday instead of a Thursday. Thank you. So I'm going to begin by a story from Henny Machlis. It's actually called, quote, so what did I do? We were leaving. The hardest part of the packing was all the things I needed for teaching this week. So I was going to make all my photocopies from all the different sfarim. Then I said to my husband, this is impossible. We're driving. I don't have to worry about luggage. I'm just going to take a small suitcase and put all the sfarim that I need for all my shirim this week. I'm packing them up. Baruch Hashem, it was much easier this way. I'm quoting from the Henny Machlis biography. It's called Nothing Here to Take. If you remember, we're expanding upon this Mishnah based on teaching by Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, with other added insights that we're bringing in and further exposition. But the premise is that the heart is a taker. If you remember, the heart is both a taker and a giver. It takes from the body and it gives to the body. So we're trying to understand what a lev tov teaches us about our interaction with other people in life. Is the heart a giver? Is it a taker? The answer is it's both. And what does this teach us about being givers and takers in life? Right? This story is called, quote, Nothing Here to Take. So I thought it was a beautiful way to start a shiur about the lev tov, which is a taker, in order to give. The Machlises never lock their door. As they told Chani Feivelson, quote, why did they never lock their door? In case someone wants to come in and rest. One day, Chani came to visit, and she found Henny upset. Some of her jewelry had gone missing. The whole idea that someone they opened the home to would take such advantage of them distressed Henny very much. They even made a police report. Her children would later tell that all of Henny's jewelry, including her diamond ring, as well as her father's silver kiddush cup and heirloom brass candlesticks, were stolen by guests throughout the years. But Henny accepted it with equanimity. We spoke a little while ago in a different venue about his shtavus ha-nefesh. She wouldn't even let the children use the word stealing. She would say someone borrowed it. Hearing Chani tell of Henny's distress at the first robbery, I was surprised. But Chani said, you can't compare the Henny of 21 years old to the Henny of 30 years later. Indeed, relationships to material things was one of the many areas where Henny developed and changed over the years. Mordechai's attitude was very different. Chani says, Mordechai's approach was to make light of the missing jewelry. He said, it's just jewelry. And Henny gradually took her cue from him. She regarded her husband as teacher. She learned a lot from him. Mordechai's whole attitude was that material things don't matter. That became Henny's attitude. The following incident relates how little Henny cared about Gashmias. Quote, there's nothing here to take. A couple from America who made Aliyah wanted to buy an apartment. Rabbi Machlis, who had a regular but modest salary as a teacher, signed as a guarantor on their mortgage. A few years later, the couple moved back to America. They left Rabbi Machlis responsible for a debt of hundreds of thousands of shekels. Of course, the Machlises did not have the funds to pay the debt. One day, two burly, shaven-headed men showed up at the Machlises' door with legal authorization papers to confiscate everything of value. So they come into the apartment. They look around. Where's the television, they demanded. We don't have one, said Henny. Where are the computers, they said. We don't have any. Where's your silver? Kiddush cups, candlesticks, whatever. We don't have silver. Where is your jewelry? It's all costume, she said. Then she said, do you want to take the Sifrei Kodesh? That's all we own. Henny was unfazed as the men who looked like mafiosos searched the apartment. When their search, their thorough search, confirmed the truth, one of the men wrote on his report, Ein po malakachat. There's nothing here to take. There's only tables and plastic chairs. They turned to leave, but Henny was not finished with them. Did you put on tefillin today, she said. Disconcerted, the men stared at her. "Go get the tefillin," she called to her son Yehoshua. The two men put on tefillin. They said Shema, and then they left. Indeed, Henny had shared with them the family's only valuables. Ein po malakachat. There are three ways, or three reasons, that a person needs to be a taker, says Rabbi Zevlev. The first one we spoke about last time. Sometimes you take to give to others. So remember he spoke about when he was a young boy, in Miami, the summer Rebbe would come. He would take from wealthy Hasidim. And Rabbi Zelov says, I thought to myself, when I grow up, I want to be a Rebbe. What an easy way to make parnasa. His pockets were stuffed with dollars. But then when a poor Hasid would come, he would give away all the money. So the first thing we learned last week is that sometimes a person takes. It's important to be a taker. I think these two-part series is very important because sometimes people say, I don't like to take. I've had people say that to me. It's not the correct attitude. It's not the Torah attitude. How could there be a circle of chesed? The middle ladder of chesed is a samech, because the essence of chesed is a circle that goes around and around. How could there be any chesed if everyone wants to only be a giver? It's not proper to say, I never want to take. I'm sorry to tell you that, but if that's one of those people that you are, you need to work on it. I'm not giving mussar. I have a zillion things I have to work on, and I'm trying. But you have to know how to take. For one of three reasons. You take to give to others. We spoke about that last week, and we said Rabbi Zevlev says, we learn from there, that's the heart, leiv tov. The heart takes from the body, but it takes the recycled blood from the lungs, the oxygenated blood. The heart takes, but the heart takes only in order to give to the rest of the body. Hence, the heart takes in order to give, to keep us alive. That's reason number one for taking. We take in order to give to others. Reason number two, which is where we're going to start our new insights tonight. You take to give kavod to others. What does that mean? Sometimes you take something from someone and it's not to give to somebody else. Paulus Bodek gave me one of the most beautiful gifts. It's called Tfila Lemora. I never saw it before. As Paula saw when she came to my house recently. It's next to my lachter. It's incredible. I love it. I don't know if I'm taking for one of these most pure reasons, but it's so beautiful. Sometimes a person has to take and should take. It's a Tfila for Mora. I say it every week when I light my Shabbos candles. Sometimes you need to take, says Rabbi Zevlev, to give kavod to the giver. What does that mean? So you're not taking to give to somebody else. Paul Spolik gave me this beautiful plaque, Tefillah Lemora, which I say every week after Shabbos candles. I didn't give it to somebody else. I didn't give it to my kids tomorrow. I kept it. So I didn't take, like model number one, take in order to give away to others. Sometimes you take to give kavod to the giver. Rabbi Zevlev said, when I was a young Rav in Miami, he decided I'm not taking any gifts. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, it's Perek Tesval Pasuk of Zion. We all know the saying, but I looked it up for the purposes of the Shir. Sonei Matanos Yechya. He who hates presents will live. So Rabbi Zevlev says, I'm going to be a tzaddik. I'm a young Rav in Miami. I'm very idealistic. I'm never taking anything. He says people like to give the rabbi presents. They give them presents for Mechiras Chametz. They give them presents when they come back from Israel. They give gifts by Hanukkah. You give a gift when the Rav is Masada Kedushin, which I just learned. You have to give gifts. Rabbi Zevlev says, no, I'm not taking any gifts. So, Matanos Yichya, that's my attitude. This went on for 6 months. Finally, one of the Baal Batim, and he speaks very often. I was a young Rav in Miami. Many of the Baal Batim were older than him, much older than him, decades older than him, more experience. One of the Baal Batim came over and he said, Rabbi, this cannot go on. People want to give to the rabbi. It makes them feel good that you, Rabbi Lev, will accept the present. They thought about you in Israel. They think about you by Hanukkah. They think about you when you make a chasana, when they sell their chametz. They want to give you something. They want to feel important that you took their gift. If you don't want to use it, you want to give the gift on, that's up to you. That's taking in order to give. But you have to take. In taking, it gives kavod to the giver. So in this perspective, and think about any gift you have received. Any gift you've received. When you take it with grace, it makes the other person feel good. You know, there's an expression even in English. 'tis better to give than to receive. You feel good when you give someone else a gift and they accept it from you with grace. And they accept it from you with thanks. It makes you feel important. Sometimes the second model of taking is in taking, you're giving kavod to somebody else. And Rabbi Zevlov said he learned from that person. And he said at that point he changed and he started taking. You want to use the gift? Don't use the gift. Give it away. Whatever you do. When you take, you make that person feel important. Hence, in taking, we give cover to others. I am quoting from Reflections of the Maggid by Rabbi Pesach Quill. No, I did not need to email him for the source. And this year, I had it. This is so interesting because Esty sent me a beautiful email. Esty, this is going to relate to your email very much. About Esty's idea, she says, you know, you have a lot of siyata d'shmaya and a lot of connections when you prepare your shiur. So listen to this story that Rabbi Pesach Krohn tells over. I could not find a better story that relates to this idea more perfectly. In an incisive essay on chesed, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, Zatzal, emphasizes a person must strive to be a no-sein, a giver, and not a taker. So, if we have to strive to be a giver and not a taker, what happens to Micharitz's two-part shiur series on being a taker? Stay tuned. He writes, those who continually take are self-absorbed in self-interest and self-love, which can ultimately lead to a denial of Hashem's existence. However, those who are benevolent, those who are givers, experience an uptick in spirituality because the Michto Me'elio writes, all spiritual growth is dependent on the power of giving. But remember, in our two models, in both cases, you're giving. You take to give to someone else. So Rav Chaim Brisker took the Mishloach Manos pater to give it to the Ani. Or you take to give kavod to somebody else. You show sincere appreciation and love for the person who gave you. It makes them feel good. Even when I give my kids a small gift, I sometimes, you know, surprise them with gifts. I don't know, at the end, by exam time, I went to the mall. I bought this for one child. I bought this for another child. Totally unexpected. Makes you feel good to give. Because they're giving kavod to the giver. So you take in order to give. Really, though, if you don't take for one of the altruistic purposes, then the Michto Me'elio writes, you should always be the no-sein, the giver, and not the taker. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zatzal, in the Mir, also condemns takers. He comments the severity of sin for taking interest from a borrower lies in the character of the lender. Hypocritically, he is convinced he's a giver. He has lent money. But in essence, he's a taker. He says, I gave you a loan of $50, but you have to pay it back with $10 interest a month. So really, he pretends to be a giver, but he's really a taker. You know what it reminds me of? I just thought of it now when I was preparing Ephron. I'm giving you b'mivkar kvarenu kvars mesecha. Whatever you want, you can bury your debt. I'm giving you. Take whatever you want. I'm giving you any the choicest portion. But behind the scenes, what's 400 silver shekel between friends? He pretends to be a giver, but he's really a taker. However, says Rabbi Pesach Krohn, so now Lamaisa, we understand you should really try and be a giver. But we're learning from the heart, the lev tov, the heart is a taker in order to give. You should always be, also strive to be a taker. In this touching story, says Rabbi Pesach Krohn, we appreciate a different type of giver. I had the privilege of knowing the people involved. Rabbi Simcha Wasserman Zatzal, the son of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, of Simcha and his rabbitson, Feiga Rachel, when they lived with a wonderful family, the Rose, in our neighborhood of Kew Garden, New York, when Rav Simcha was recuperating from a serious illness. The Wassermans, Rabbi Simcha Wasserman and his rabbitson, were soft-spoken, kind, considerate people who devoted their lives to inspiring Talmidim and Talmidos in Europe, Israel, and America. Rabbi Simcha Wasserman and his wife had a very special relationship. They were married for more than 60 years, but sadly, they never had children. They revered each other. They were a constant source of strength to one another during numerous frustrations and unrealized aspirations in the various communities in which they lived. The Rebbetzin often said she could not live a day without her husband. She expressed the hope that she would die before he did, so she would be spared the pain and anguish of living even one day without him. As she got older, however, it occurred to her that if she died before her husband, there would be no immediate relative to mourn for her husband. And so she relinquished her original idea, and the Rebbetzin said, it would be better if Reb Simcha would pass away first, for despite my pain, he would have someone to sit Shiva for him. For his part, Rabbi Wasserman wrote in his will, he wanted no eulogies at his Levaya, but if the Rebbetzin was still living at the time of his Patira, there could be one brief eulogy for her sake. On the second day of Mar Cheshvan, 5753, Rabbi Simcha Wasserman passed away. Thousands mourned him at his funeral in Jerusalem. Hundreds came to be Menachem Avil the Rebbetzin during the Shiva. Incredibly, on the 12th day of Mar Cheshvan, a few days after the Shiva ended, the Rebbetzin passed away. Comments Rabbi Pesach Krohn. Perhaps the Rebbetzin understood that by wishing she would die first, she was acting as a taker, a no-tell, focusing on the kindness and benevolence she always received from her husband. She was a taker. She wanted to take more. When she realized only she was eligible to pay her great husband the ultimate respect of sitting Shiva, she sought to elevate her life by becoming a no-sane, a giver. In deference to her piety, heaven granted her wish. She wanted to be a giver. This is a perfect example of the second model. Sometimes, says Rabbi Zev Lef, you need to take in order to give kavod. So what did she want? She wanted, ironically, his life to be taken first so she could give kavod to the nifter. And he passed away on the second day of Mar Cheshvan, and on the 12th, a couple of days after the Shiva ended, she was nifteres. So sometimes we must take in order to give kavod, and this is the second model. And again, if you think of any times you've received a gift, if you've expressed thanks and appreciation with enthusiasm and love, makes the other person feel good. And so this person came to Rabbi Zev Lef and he said, you have to be a taker. I once asked Rav Naftali Weitz from Congregation Ishei Yisrael in Woodmere, a shayla, and he told me, al tatz dekarbe, don't be such a tzadekas. Sometimes you need to take to give kavod to the giver. And I was thinking to myself that this is also seen in the Lev Tov. How is this seen in the Lev Tov? Because the heart takes the fresh blood to give kavod to the body. What do I mean when I say the heart takes the fresh blood to give kavod to the body? I'm going to screen share back to my handout. Could you see, it says Tehillim 8:6. Could someone tell me if you could see? No one's nodding. You don't see. Now you see? Okay, very good. Thank you. Oh, it says my internet connection is unstable. I'm not in my own home, as I mentioned. Not only did they open their home to us, but Mr. Zelenik is letting me zoom my shiurim today graciously from his office, because I realized that from upstairs it wasn't so stable. So I'm in his office where the router is. So I'm going to, this is my second shiur of the night and third shiur of the day. So I'm going to ask Hashem to give us the duration of shiur. Should it be a strong connection? Is it basically okay? Yes, okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so my premise is, if the second model of the reason why we have to take is because we take to give kavod. So the first model is I take to give to someone else. The Sama Rebbe took dollars from wealthy Hasidim to give dollars to the poor Hasidim. The second model is I take not to give away what was given to me, but to give kavod to somebody else. In this case, Rebbetzin Wasserman wanted to take, or that it sounds strange, but her husband's life should be taken first in order to give kavod to her husband. And now I'm proposing that is seen in the Lev Tov as well. The Lev Tov takes the fresh blood from the lungs in order to give kavod to the body. What do I mean by that? but I'm going to prove it to you from sources in Tanakh. In Tehillim, Parak Ches, Pasuk Vav, the Pasuk says, V'tachzireu me'at me'elokim v'kavod, you could see I bolded the word kavod, v'kavod v'hadar ta'atrehu. So David HaMelech says, how great is man? How awesome is the potential in man? V'tachzireu me'at me'elokim. You diminished him. Man is only a little bit less than the angels. V'kavod v'hadar ta'atrehu. Man is crowned with kavod and hadar. Wouldn't be good as a translator for Artsgra. We are graced with kavod, which I'm purposely not translating, even though we usually say honor, and hadar, glory. Man was created and is only a little bit lower than the angels, and he is endowed with kavod, usually translated as honor, and hadar, glory, tatra, you crowned him. What does it mean that man has kavod? The Radak says, what is the kavod of man? The kavod v'hadar tatrehu, b'neshama ha'elyona shenasatabo. Kavod is the neshama. You want to know how we have kavod? By the exalted soul which you, God, gave man. So Micha Haaretz is proposing, Rabbi Zavlev says, the second model of taking is you must take in order to give someone kavod. You understand? They feel good when you take their present. You take to give kavod. A side benefit is hopefully you enjoy the gift and utilize the gift, and you think of that person every time. When you think of that person every time, you're giving them kavod. It's important to be a taker, not only a giver, for the right reasons. Now, I am proposing that we see this model in the Lev Tov. How do we see the model in the Lev Tov? I am proposing that the heart takes the fresh blood, the oxygenated blood, in order to give kavod to the body. The heart, in taking fresh blood, allows the kavod, the neshama, to have a place in the guf. God made man so great, he's only a little bit lower than the angels. With kavod and glory we have been crowned, says the Radak. Man is endowed with an exalted neshama. That's kavod. Kavod is neshama. So now what I'm saying makes perfect sense. The heart, I'm proposing, takes in order to give kavod. That's exactly what it does. The heart takes oxygenated blood in order to give kavod, i.e. housing for the neshama. Your neshama needs a place in this world. Otherwise, we'd just be floating around. Otherwise, you'd be in the Olam Emes under the Kisei HaKavod and the Tzor Chaim of neshamas. But no, if you're in this world, you need housing for that neshama. What's the neshama called? Kavod. You need housing for your kavod. What gives housing to the kavod? The guf. The guf must be healthy in order to house the kavod of the neshama. What ensures that the guf is healthy? The heart. How does the heart ensure that the guf is healthy? By taking in order to give kavod. The heart, the lev tov, ro'eh ani es divrei Elazar ben Aruch me divreichem, shebekal d'vrav divreichem. The heart teaches us to be a taker in order to give kavod. That is exactly what the heart does. It takes oxygenated blood to keep your guf, your housing, healthy in order to make a home for your neshama. What's your neshama? Your kavod. Whew! Another proof from Tehillim. Kapitel Lamed. You can see on my screen. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Leman yizmarach yizah, leman yizamrach kavod velo yidam. Hashem Elokai le'olam adeka. In order that my kavod shall sing to you, and it will not be silenced. Hashem is my God. I will forever thank Him. Leman yizamrach kavod. So my kavod shall sing zmiros to you. Velo yidam. It will not be silent. Interesting. Dam, we're talking all about the heart being the place that's responsible for pumping the blood. In this case, it means it will not be quiet. Hashem Elokai, Hashem is my God, Olam Adeka, I will always thank Him. Once again, Yizamrecha Kavod. What does that mean? Mitzudas Tzion, Kavod, Hi HaNeshama. Shehi Kavod Aguf. The Mitzudas Tzion says it beferish. What is the Kavod of man? The Kavod of man is the soul. Shehi Kavod Aguf. Because the Kavod of the body is the soul of man. Says the Mitzudas David, Leman Yizamrecha. When the Pasuk says, excuse me, that my kavod will sing to you, Hashem, says the Mitzudas David, and because of this, Yizamar lecha haneshama, the soul of man will sing to you, God. Velo yishtok min hazemer. My soul will never stop. It will never be silenced from song. Va'odecha le'olam, va'odecha le'olam. It will thank you forever. What am I doing? I'm bringing you proofs for what I am proposing. I am proposing, based on Rabbi Zavlev's model, model number two of taking. We must take in order to give kavod to somebody else. You might keep the gift. You don't take in order to give away. You kept it, but in keeping it, you give kavod. Rabbi, al tatz dikarbe. Who do you think you are? The balabatim come back. They bring you. Someone just brought me. One of my dear friends. She just came back from Israel. The day before the wedding, she was in my house. Tuesday afternoon, she was in my neighborhood, and she delivered fresh chavod from the shuk. She knows how much I enjoy fresh chavod from the shuk. You give somebody a good feeling when you take from them. It makes them feel wonderful. It's better to give than to receive. I'm so happy when I give a gift and that person is so appreciative, especially when it's unexpected. It's a surprise. It's wonderful. It's exciting. You take to give kavod. So I am proposing that that's exactly what the Lev Tov does. The Lev Tov takes fresh oxygenated blood in order to give kavod to the guf. And that's exactly what I'm showing you based on the sources, not based on me. Kavod is the neshama. Tilam eches vav. The kavod v'hadar tatrei, says the Radak, kavod b'neshama ha'alyona shenasatabo tehillam la'amid yud gimel l'man yizmrecha kavod v'lo yidam mitzud esziyon kavod. He a neshama? Shehi kavod a guf? So when the heart, the lev tov, says Elazar ben Arach, takes the fresh blood, it only does so in order to give kavod to the guf. It makes the guf healthy in order to give the kavod, the neshama, a place in this world. Mitzudas David, uba avurza yizamer lecha neshama, velo yishtok. And being a healthy guf, my neshama has a house, the neshama will sing to you, it will never be silenced, it will never stop from the zemer, va'odeka le'olam. Tfilas David lehamalbim, leman yizmerecha kavod, kidei shahanefesh shabi. Shenikras b'shem kavod. Look at this, look at this, look at this. The neshama, the nefesh, is called kavod. Yuchal ezamecha. Will be able to sing to you. And finally, the radak, leman yizamecha kavod, v'hu ha-nefesh. Ha-kavod yizamecha v'yoducha. Every source. And Tehillah Mamid, Yud Gimel that I'm showing you, the Manis Recha Kavod, Mitzvah Sion, Mitzvah David, the Malbim and the Radak all teach that Kavod is the Neshama, and is the Neshama that will sing to you, says the Radak, V'hu HaNefesh, HaKavod Yizamrecha V'yoducha. It is my Nefesh, my Kavod, that will sing to you, and that will give thanks to you. And therefore we can propose that in order to be a proper taker, we in taking, sometimes we only take to give kavod to another person, just like the Lev Tov takes in order to give kavod to our body. What does that mean? It gives the body a neshama. Hence, I wrote in my own notes, the body takes the used blood to give kavod to the person, to sustain your guf as healthy housing for the neshama, and then you can fulfill your tafkid. The heart, therefore, gives kavod, your neshama, its existence in this world. And I want to finish with another story from the Tzadekes Heni Machas Allah Shalom. This is an example of Heni taking in order to give kavod, which is the lesson that we learned tonight. I said two parts, it's going to be three parts. Everyone who ever entered the Machas house was treated with the honor most of us reserve for the most prestigious people. So we're talking about kavod. Heni, the Machas, gave kavod to every single person. No one of any age, status, or level of religiosity was ever allowed to be embarrassed for any reason. Once a woman who was a professional opera singer came for Shabbos. She got up in the middle of the meal and she wanted to sing. A woman singing in front of men is prohibited by halacha, but to silence her would have been insulting. How to give her kavod, how to take what she wanted to offer, her kol isha, by giving her kavod, dignity and honor. Hani went over to her and calmly explained the prohibition of kol isha. But then she added, even though you can't sing right now, we women are very interested in hearing you. So after the meal, we will have an opera recital downstairs. No men will be allowed. We will close the doors, and the woman will get to enjoy hearing you sing. We would be honored to hear you sing. Henny was taking what the woman wanted to give. Not because she needed it, not because she necessarily wanted it, not because she was giving it to somebody else. She was literally, it's a beautiful example of this teaching of Rabbi Lauf, the second model of taking, in order literally to give kavod to this woman. And in fact, the story uses the word honored. If you're unaware, I'm quoting from page 166 through 167 in Emunah with Love and Chicken Soup. No man will be allowed. We'll close the door. Quote, only the woman will get to enjoy you. We really would be honored to hear you sing. Relating the story, one of the daughters concluded, the interviewer, the author, Savra Yocheved Rigler, when she interviewed the family. So one of the daughters told the story, and then she said, quote, that opera singer was a very weird lady. Rabbi Machus's answer to his daughter encapsulates the Machus attitude towards every single Jew. What do you mean she was weird? She was Jewish. They took in order to give kavod. One more. Rabbi Alex Miller's story. These are both examples of taking something in order to give kavod. When I graduated high school in 1994, said Rabbi Alex Miller, I went to Israel for a year. I was finding myself. On Purim, I came to the Machus home for the Seuda. Mrs. Machus, with a broad smile, was busy preparing a huge meal. Her happiness and excitement were absolutely contagious. She called out to Rabbi Machus she needed a case of wine from the car. I volunteered to get it. I walked in the door with a case of wine, and the unthinkable happened. I dropped the case of wine, exclamation mark. There was glass and wine all over the apartment floor, exclamation mark. I was devastated and embarrassed. All of a sudden, I heard screams coming from Rabbi and Mrs. Machus. Mazel tov, mazel tov. In a moment, Rabbi Machus, with a circle of men, was dancing around me and singing. They took my embarrassment and somehow turned it into joy, happiness, and honor. They showed me what can be done with unconditional love. There are different opinions as to what it means to go on the Derech Hishara. Shayid Bakbo Adam. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai asked his Talmidim. Some said an Ayin Tova. Some said a Chaver Tov. Some said Shachin Tov. And some said a Roa Sanola. Along comes Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach and he says, Leiv Tov. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, oh, Taka, you're correct, because a Leiv Tov encompasses everything else. But we had a little biology lesson. The heart is not just a giver, the heart is a taker. It takes fresh blood. It gives the body the fresh blood. On the other end, it takes the used blood and sends that back to the lungs. So is the heart a giver or a taker? And what does it teach us about our role as being part of Klal Yisrael and an Eved Hashem? It teaches us, one, sometimes you need to take in order to give, like the Sama Rebbe, like Rav Chaim Brisker. Sometimes what we learn tonight is you need to take in order to give kavod to somebody else. Not to give away what you got, to give kavod. And furthermore, we learned each model as it applies to the heart. We said last week that the heart takes in order to give the body physical life. It takes the blood to forward the blood. Tonight we're learning, and I showed you the sources, that literally the heart takes in order to give kavod, which is exactly what Rabbi Zaflof was speaking about. How does the heart take to give kavod? In taking fresh blood, it is giving you a healthy housing for your kavod. What's your kavod? Your neshama. So Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue next week with the third model of taking, and that is sometimes we need to take, ready, to give the other person the mitzvah of giving. Many years ago, my brother Rabbi Dov Fried, who Paulus Bodega and her grandchildren know, when Yeshiva's Har Torah, my brother Rabbi Dov Fried taught me this years ago, before I ever heard Rabbi Zavlev Shir, before I ever wrote this year, and it really changed my idea of taking. My brother said to me, Micha, sometimes you need to take in order to give the other person a mitzvah of giving. And that fundamentally changed my outlook, because I also didn't like to always take. But when you take with the right attitude, you're giving another person a mitzvah. How could you take that away from somebody else? That's the third model that we will be discussing on the Leiv Tov next week. I thank our anonymous sponsor very much, who has sponsored multiple times. I thank her. May the chavrusa between her son-in-law and his new chavrusa only bring Kiddush Hashem, lahagdil Torah, lahadira. I thank the Zelenik so much for hosting. I thank you all for accommodating my change in schedule. But Be'ezer Hashem, we do have the Shir sponsor for the first 3 weeks in September, September 1, 8, and 15. There are two more weeks until Yom Tov. I believe it's the 22nd and the 29th. If you're available to sponsor, please reach out. Tizkul mitzvos ulamaisim tovim to all. Have a wonderful weekend in the right time. Be'ezer Hashem, a good Shabbos. Thank you so much. And a maid to safe travels home. Thank you so much.